it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
Hey, what's going on? Right now, I'm talking with a band called Dark Meditation. They're a Seattle band that just recently put out an album called Polluted Temples on Satanic Royalty Records. It is available now, and we're going to be playing some songs from them and chatting with the band. So first off, congratulations on the release of the album. It's killer.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Is that Seattle?
Yeah. Still have it out there.
Absolutely. So I guess before we jump into everything, why don't we go around the room? Adam, let's start with you. What's your name and what do you do in Dark Meditation?
My name's Adam. I'm the vocalist and also do like a lot of all of our artwork and a lot of all the visual presentation and stuff like that too. So
cool.
Hi, my name is Ian. I play the electrified guitar. And I did some of the synth work on the album.
Awesome.
Ryan here, guitar player. I don't think I did any backing vocals on this album, but backing vocals in general. Motivational support.
I like it. So are we missing anyone? Are we missing anyone in the call tonight?
Yeah, we got Will, our drummer, percussion.
And yes.
Background vocalist, and John, the bass man. They're both of them had to work tonight, so holding it down for them. I also say Ian and Ryan are the primary songwriters in the band too. So, you know.
All right.
Get, you know, shout that to the mountain a little bit as well.
Absolutely. So how did you guys all meet? I guess kind of the origin story, if we were talking in like comic book story, what's the origin story? Had you guys played in bands before, or how'd you guys meet?
I guess we could go
long. Let's hear the whole story.
It's kind of like a comic book, actually.
Yeah.
I'll say part of it, and then maybe you can jump in for when we met up at this point. But we go back a really long time. Ryan and I were in a band together, like starting back at like the end of high school, kind of like a hardcore punk band called Desensitized.
Okay.
And then we did I took off for a few years and lived in Portland and then came back, and we did kind of like a blackened thrash band called Detonator. And then turned into a band called Emeralds. And
yes.
Yeah, Ian joined that band.
Jolene from Loud and Local gave me the Emerald CD.
Yeah, yeah. And I was going to say, we have an experience coming in a couple times down at the old studio space.
Yes, that was with Jolene. Shout out to Jolene.
Yeah, big shouts to Joe.
Hey, Jolene.
And Ian was in that band too. And
awesome.
I've known Ian since around high school days as well. So, and then after that band, then Ryan and I did another band that was kind of like a blackened hardcore punk band called OSS or Occult SS.
Yeah, I heard the album. I'd never saw you guys live though, so
yeah,
that's how I could know you guys.
So we have a pretty long history of a variety of different types of bands, and I kind of feel like we kind of took a few years breaks. Everybody, you know, did some job stuff, school stuff, and then Ian was out in New York for a while, and then he came back home, and then we all just kind of started talking about getting back together and trying to do a new project. And kind of in a way, a band that in some ways kind of encompassed almost all of our previous stuff.
Yeah.
Like a middle ground of everything, kind of, and along with some new stuff. And yeah. And then Ryan and Ian started talking, and I don't know, I'll let you guys throw in if you want to add anything else into that.
Yeah. I mean, Ian, when Ian came back from New York, how many years were you in New York, Ian?
About enough that I got a pretty good taste of the city. I think I was there about 3 years. Came back.
Yeah,
and about 2016, I think we started, got back in touch. And I think it was only maybe about hanging out twice within 2 days. We're talking about starting to play music or something on getting something going.
Yeah.
Yeah, we always had a lot of likeness with our influences and a lot of ideas from like video gaming and, you know, horror movies and all kinds of stuff. And we wanted to kind of take that and incorporate it into our music. And it may or may not have gone that far, but I mean, we definitely had a direction right when we started talking about this project.
Like Castlevania, Symphony of the Night, Celtic Frost.
Yeah.
The soundtrack to Phantasm.
Yeah.
Yeah, all kinds of John Carpenter. I mean, like, all that synth-wavy horror music, you know, it was
totally
all pre-inspiring to this whole project. So, and then, like, everything else just bloomed. When we brought Adam, you know, well, I mean, it was just necessary that we bring Adam back in to this project because, I mean, the three of us were always working really hard in our past projects. And it was just, we just have like this kinship, you know, it always gels with us. So when Adam was introduced to this project, I mean, then that was another take on all the influences that we wanted to push into this. And that just opened up a whole nother box full of, you know, goodies to play with. So that was the initiation of the band. And then there were plenty of years that followed trying to kind of nail that all down and find the right personnel to kind of gel with what we were trying to put out. So
right. And so what that looked like and what that sounded like was we would hang out in, you know, either my old basement or go over to Ryan's house. And we're sitting there with like recorded music, working with laptops. And like we learned how writing songs and just making sketches and songs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we did this for years. We talked about getting drummers involved and that kind of set the wheels in motion.
Yeah, I'd say like a big thing was like kind of in this project, we kind of had a habit before of like writing music and then trying to play shows a bunch and just play live like all the time. And I think this time around, we decided like we wanted to write like albums worth of material before we ever even played live or anything like that. Just because we kind of had a bad track record of getting into the studio when we were supposed to record our full length records and then breaking up like in the process of it or directly afterwards and then sitting on like halfway finished records. So the idea this time around was kind of like, let's get, you know, at least an album's worth of material done pretty completely before we ever even play a show, which we did. We recorded this record before we ever played live, which was kind of like, you know, totally the opposite of how we ever did things before. But I think it turned out pretty well in that regard.
We were already kind of operating in quarantine mode before the pandemic even happened.
Sure, yeah.
You know, like for years, we were already like recording in isolated situations.
Yeah.
No shows, no nothing. Then all of a sudden, you know, quarantine happens. And then we're like, okay, well, we can write more songs now. So it opened a door of sorts when that whole avalanche happened too.
Less distractions. Just
right.
You know, hunker down and write the rest of the records, right?
Yeah, and a lot of inspiration too. There's a lot of really weird happening in the world. So
absolutely.
I mean, that beginning of the quarantine era, you know, like was definitely really pretty driving. It was pretty inspirational.
I remember me and my girlfriend, we were driving around like first or second weekend where, you know, like Capitol Hill was shuttered and she lives up on Capitol Hill. And we were listening to synthwave and there was like this fog in the air and it was just this weird vibe. Like we were just, and it was a Saturday night where Capitol Hill would just be cracking and crazy, but we were just like driving around. Everything was shut down. It was just this weird post-apocalyptic, but like with the synth wave, it was just perfect. So I can imagine, you know, the inspiration for you guys.
I was going to suggest the opening theme from Return of the Living Dead.
Yes. Good. Definitely a good theme. So, yeah. So you guys are talking about, you know, years you guys have been working on this. What was the origin of the band? How many years has Dark Meditation been kind of, you know, in the works?
I would say like really like the winter of 2017 is when the ball went going. And then by 2019 is when John and Will, well, John joined before Will. Will joined in 2019. So it became like a fully active practicing unit and as a band in 2019. And it was funny because we our original goal was we had all these internal demos and they weren't really specifically going to be used to be released or anything like that. They were mainly to just find other members and for us to get the songs down. And it was, we got everybody, we got a practice space, we started practicing and we were like, cool, we're going to go record an EP and we're going to start. And we booked our first show. And then that's literally when COVID started.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, what are we going to do now? So then we just decided to throw up a couple demos like 6 months apart up on Bandcamp. Mm-hmm. And the response ended up being pretty good. And this Austrian kind of black metal tape label like got a hold of us. And it's this guy named Eric that does, God, he's like this one man black metal machine. He's done all these really killer bands called like Golden Blood and Haunted Palace. And I don't even know, he has an insane discography. He's like one of the most prolific people I know. Anyway, he got a hold of us. He really liked the demos and he asked if he could package them together and put it out on a tape. And we did that. And then that's when Fry heard that. And it was like, and it was all during the quarantine time. Mm-hmm. We were just kind of different things just started happening during that time. So we were like, okay, you know, let's just see, you know, just because we had worked and we were about to do something, we were like, well, I don't know, let's at least do something with these things since we can't really do much else right now, you know? So
that's awesome. So in case you're just, you know, listening and you don't know what he means when he says Fry, we were talking about a guy named Freiberger, Michael Freiberger. He runs a label called Satanic Royalty Records and actually interviewed him, you know, months back. So when you're done with this one, you can check out that episode. And he runs really cool label, Satanic Royalty Records, put out Eris. They got all kinds of bands. They got Old Iron is going to be coming out with a new record. They got the Dark Meditation record.
Is Me.
Yes, Is Me. Yeah.
Sandrider.
Sandrider. That's right. That's the one that was on the top of my. Yep. Exactly. Death Cave. Yep. So many killer bands. It's all Northwest focused. And that Eris record's phenomenal. Definitely check out Satanic Royalty. And that's with a K. So Satanic Royalty, named after the Killer Midnight song. So you can check them out on Instagram, social media, all that stuff, and support that label. But so you chatted with Fry and he was interested. That's awesome.
Yeah, he reached out because he was also familiar with all of our previous bands.
Sure.
And was like, you know, kind of felt like it was a little, like I said earlier, we kind of fell apart a lot of the times when we were just about to record records. And he was kind of like, it was ridiculous that you guys never put out any full length records. So he was like, hey, let's make one happen for this project. So, which we were like, yeah, man. So pretty stoked on that. It was just kind of like, you know, just a nice opportunity that presented itself. And it was really cool. He hooked us up with Matt Bales, or Bayless, sorry.
Yeah.
And and we did a couple weeks with him in the of last summer, and just it's been, the ball's been rolling kind of ever since July of last year. It's just kind of been one thing after another so far. So
Matt Bayless, a very, you know, very talented producer and engineer here in the Northwest, and, you know, in the United States, he's worked with, you know, huge bands like Mastodon and whatnot, and, you know, a lot of Northwest bands too. What was it like working with him?
I think I'll let those boys chime in on that one. They have more experience than I do.
Yeah. I mean, what more can you say about somebody like that that has a track record like that? I mean, dude was a professional. We knew, you know, of previous bands that had worked with him, and so we got, you know, tipped in on what we were up for, and he's a workhorse, and that's what we definitely needed, and that was a lot of fun, you know. I mean, like, having to work, and, you know, we're not easy to work with. I can honestly say that. But during this time, you know, was last summer's, you know, the hottest stretch of weather that we've had that I can remember, being a native of this, you know, the Seattle area, working through that. I mean, it was just insane. And it was a lot of fun. It was pretty crazy. And, you know, the experience that we got and the stories that we got from him about his, you know, his history and his career, was just like, you can't trade that in for anything in your life. Being a musician, doing what you're doing, working with somebody like that was just perfect. And, you know, he captured what we needed him to capture, and then some. And then, you know, I think we pushed a lot of boundaries on him that maybe he wasn't ready to take on, you know,
sure,
as a professional. But he definitely, like, we worked together in a way that was really creative, and everything turned out great, and dude's a genius. So, I mean, that's awesome. I was stoked to work with Matt.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
I don't know what I can add to that. I think Ryan said it all. That guy really works. Yeah.
Yeah.
A guy worked me on the guitar, and I just couldn't wait to get back into that room. Cause it was the room with air conditioning. It was the hottest dang week I've ever experienced in this state.
Yep. Damn, dude. Wow. Sounds like boot camp, dude. That's grueling.
Yeah, it was like heavy metal boot camp for sure.
Damn.
But hey, it finally gave us our finished product that was kind of elusive beforehand. So, you know,
it gets results, man. It gets results.
Exactly.
So something that, you know, and I'm not going to speak for your band, you know, I'm not a musician myself, but just as a listener, something that stands out to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to be kind of a lot of goth and post-punk influence maybe in the album, or maybe just goth kind of music. And that's something that stands out to maybe just someone who is expecting maybe just a heavy metal album. It's a lot of goth kind of influence. Is that right?
I would say on my end, especially like vocally, that's where I look. I'm more interested in that than traditional heavy metal singing and vocalists and vibe wise. I think there's been an element where I've been kind of pushing that at points.
Yeah.
I think Ryan and Ian both have added element to that. I think some of the more, since a lot of that, the songwriting kind of starts with one of each other's riffs, and then, you know, we all kind of build off of it from there. And I think the album, personally, when I listen to it, there's kind of a couple different sides to it, and I think that Ian kind of brings a little bit more of some of those style of riffs, and then Ryan brings a little more of the more heavier metal riffing. But there's a pretty good synergy between the two of them, where they trade off with one another and add to each other's songs. I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think about that? Do you think that's kind of an accurate description, or?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think that, I mean, it goes back to the history of our, you know, music making, you know, all the bands that we've, you know, done in the past, all the projects that we've had in the past are like coming to this point right here. And we're trying to kind of expand off of that also. Like, you know, the dark wave or the, you know, the gothy tinges, you know, like, yeah, that can kind of like add to the kind of hybrid that we're kind of developing. I just think that we really don't want to pigeonhole ourselves into any kind of like specific genres that are really, really, you know, intense and strong. And I think that, like, I mean, like, all of our interests are so vast and expand like over so many different genres that it's like hard to capture all of the things that you're interested in, you know, in just like one album or even a song, you know, like, so really, I think the idea is just kind of like not limiting ourselves per song, just kind of doing what we want to do. And, you know, and certain things, certain tones, certain vocal cadences or beats, you know, may kind of evoke like a certain, you know, genre or something. Sure. But yeah, I mean, all of that, sure. You know, like, yes, like we're influenced by so much that it's like, you know,
yeah,
why hold back? So, yeah. But certainly, I think that, you know, there are certain bands that we were interested in, you know, when starting this project, that I think that they kind of let it, that let that path kind of already be known to us, you know, like, you know, bands like Out of Sweden, like Tribulation or In Solitude or, you know, Devil's Blood are three big bands personally to me that, like, I think inspired this project to kind of like move it into a different, not just punk or metal or goth specific genre, and kind of blend all that stuff together, you know.
And are you wearing a Devil's Blood shirt?
I am, yes.
Yes, I like it. Oh, awesome.
I just had to wait a few weeks from Van Records, but I got my Devil's Blood shirt. And I actually, back when Devil's Blood were still active and touring on the Dust Bowl Festival, back in, I think that was 2013, in Seattle show, I brought them their stage blood, their pig's blood.
Amazing. Yeah. Was that the one with Watain and Behemoth?
Behemoth, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was the first show in Seattle that Nergal came back after his leukemia. So.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was a wild backstage party. Those are good times.
Yes. Awesome. And okay, right on, man. Well,
I'd say real quick, Ian, your previous band, Ian was in a band called Red Liquid too, that kind of had some elements of, I think that maybe carried over to some of his songwriting into our band when we first started a little bit.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That was definitely a experimentation project. And it's kind of weird. I even like kind of wanted to take myself into a completely different mindset musically, and I was like playing bass on it, and I would even incorporate groove boxes, like the chord ER1 either way. And you know, not in a dance music sort of way, but more of like something that I could play back sequence tones and just run through guitar effects and stuff and really create some atmosphere. And I learned a lot from that project, and could bring some more atmospheric elements to Dark Meditation.
Cool.
You know, that's like another thing too, is I like to take riffs, you know, I might write like just some really just dumb, just, oh gosh, like 80s, like rock riff. Then I'd be like, hey, what happens if I was to, you know, put this into a different light, into a different filter, and what does it sound like? And, you know, and I don't know. I just like to have fun with it.
That's right on, man. Well, it's all about experimentation. That's cool. It's got to be cool. Like, you know, you guys were talking about, you know, all these over the years, you kind of were playing in these specific, maybe sort of regimented subgenre bands, you know, like maybe a little bit more like, you know, close to like, here's our punk band, here's our hardcore band. But then as you get older and you expand and you have all of that stuff, then it's just like, here's just our band. We can throw in what we love, right?
Totally. Yeah. I also think that's just kind of a symptom of living in this day and age, you know, when you can look back on everything in a way.
Yes.
especially as you get a little older and you know, pull all of your influences and discover all these different styles and bands. And just like, I don't know, it's, we're in kind of a unique time in history where you can kind of have the option to really pull them all together under one umbrella, you know, like instead of it being so, like you said, like regimented, you know.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, we're going to get into one of the songs. This again is, the band is Dark Meditation. This is the album Polluted Temples from the Satanic Royalty Records. You can check it out. You can order the album. I believe it is available via digitally. The LP, obviously, supply chain, all of that stuff. We've all talked about this in the past. Adele pressing 1 million copies of her new album really let, you know, a lot of underground bands be on the back burner, but it'll be out. You can pre-order it now. We got Haunt of Fear by Dark Meditation. It's Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions.
Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. out to Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dark Meditations here on Loud and Local. That was Haunt of Fear. Got the guys here. We've been chatting about the roots of the band and what they kind of described. It sounds like with the three that I'm talking here right now is over the years, just kind of a creative and musical partnership. It just sounds like between you, all of you guys, you know, within these different bands, you just always like, it's like the, it's like a, in wrestling terms, you're like the tag teams, you know, you're like the team. Oh, we're going to start a band. All right. I know my dude, let's do it.
Yeah. In a way, I think so. You know, I mean, we're also all pretty good friends, you know, and been around in the same scenes and, you know, I don't know, we're all pretty comfortable with each other. You know, that's kind of part of it too.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's weird how I always hear stories about, you know, back in the day, how people would like put ads in papers and stuff like that. And they would meet fellow band members that they would, you know, never had any sort of history or friendship with. And then you hear stories about how, you know, they get together just to play music. And then they don't ever talk to each other or they don't ever hang out with each other or anything like that, which is just totally not been my experience in any way, because every band I've ever been in, every person has always been like a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
For the most part, and still is, you know? So it's just like, it's just such a weird, it's like a foreign concept for me personally to even think about having that creative partnership with people that, you know, you wouldn't want to hang out with outside of the practice space room, you know, which is for some people, I know that's a thing, but it's just not for me personally.
in the world of radio, it's a thing too. There's like highly successful morning show, like, or sports talk shows where you think that they're best friends on the mic. They turn off the mic. You could cut the tension with a knife. Don't even make eye contact. They hate each other. It's just like, holy. So anyways, yeah. So, right on. Okay, guys, let's ask a question here. So obviously the last couple of years been a lot of tension, a lot of heatish days with me at least. And you know, everyone's had crappy days over the last couple of years. If you're having a real heatish day, what's an album that you can go to that will bring you back to a good place? Whether it's get the aggression out, whether it's to just like get you stoked, or, you know, an album to get your emotions out. Any way that you want. What's an album you can go back to that'll put you back in a good headspace? Ryan, let's start with you.
Oh, for me, it's always and forever Cult Sonnet Temple. That album, for me, I mean, I remember being a kid when that album came out, and it's stuck with me ever since. And I don't know, there's something about that album that from front to back, like first song to end, that like it just never gets boring to me. And it just it has a real kind of nostalgic thing to it, but it's never stale to me. And I don't, like, I know that it was a real influential album back in those days. And I feel like it doesn't really get the cred that it deserves. It's one of those albums that is always on my top five. Yeah, for sure.
Adam, what about you, man?
Oh, man, I'm going to go kind of similar. But so like my getting pumped up and like when I want to like party or when I'm feeling that down is the very first Def Leppard record, On Through the Night, which is kind of like when they're kind of more like a new wave of British heavy metal band at that time. They're all like 16 years old too at that point, something like that. But it was a record that my dad listened to a lot. And like when I was a kid, and like, I don't know, it kind of like in my early 20s, like it was just like my Friday night record or whatever.
Yeah.
Even when I was listening to like the most brutal music at the time, but for some reason that was like the one that like I would always go back to. And to this day, still like in my car or whatever, I'll put that on. And if I'm like trying to get hyped or I'm like feeling kind of down, like,
yeah,
that's like the big one for me.
Awesome. Ian, what about you, man?
I don't know. I probably put on like Wipers Over the Edge.
Okay.
It's always
been a go-to feel Feels album. If I'm in traffic and I just want her edge, I don't know, I'll put on like, gosh, like Dark Throne, like Blaze of Northern Sky or Pines of Files or something.
Okay. Nice, dude. Right on.
I was just getting into some Wipers today. So I definitely agree with that.
Awesome. Right on, guys. Okay. Well, here's one, since you guys are a Northwest band, and what's your favorite Northwest band of all time? And it could be bands, you know, you can name a few. It doesn't matter. We're not doing, you know, we're not hammering it down to some like regimented rule or something. So just your favorite band or bands of all time from the Northwest, whether it's, you know, a huge band or a small project that didn't even get off, you know, over a few shows. Ian, let's start with you this time. Favorite Northwest bands?
Favorite Northwest band? I mean, I'd be about 12 when like Nirvana's Nevermind came out. That was a great one. I want to say the most obvious answer, but you know, that really got me.
Yes.
Playing guitar.
Right on. Adam, what about you?
Oh, man. Well, out of like Seattle bands from that era, it's definitely Alice in Chains. Dirt was huge to me. But then, like, I really love Poison Idea. Yes. Like, you know, as like a hardcore punk kid and like what I was listening to at that time for a long time. And then I really loved this punk band from Portland called Religious War that were like a spiky hardcore punk band. They were like, when I was a teenager, made a massive influence on me at the time and kind of always stuck with me a little bit. So I think those are definitely some of them. There's so many, but I would go with those off the top of my head.
Do you remember a band from, I think it was Portland, called Poxy?
Poxy from Seattle.
Seattle? Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
Seattle.
Yeah. Our old band used to play with Poxy.
Yeah, Ryan's old band played with them all the time.
My band had a four-way split with Poxy, actually.
Oh, cool.
It was a Seattle versus Salt Lake City punk band split. And it was us and Poxy versus Endless Struggle and Classic Ass. Yeah. Ooh. Back when I was probably maybe like 15 or 16. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Remember,
dude.
Poxy. Nils, if you're listening, what's up? Andy. Nice. Andy, if you're listening, what's up?
Ryan, we didn't get yours, right? Favorite Northwest band?
Yeah. I'm on board with, oh man, there's just so many. Poison Idea, absolute favorite. Gosh, like all of their, everything that Poison Idea has done, they're just like bombastic and punk and loud and they don't give, and that's fun. Metal Church. I love Metal Church.
Yes. R.I.P. You know, Mike Howe. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they can be taken as Bay Area or Northwest or whatever, but Metal Church for sure. Queensryche.
Queen of the Rock.
Yeah, yep. Dude. Exactly, dude. I mean, Queensryche. Love
Bellevue Queensryche. Metal.
Yes. Yep.
I gotta say, Dead City Woman is a song that I put on all the time when I'm trying to get hyped, going back to an earlier song.
Dude, I worked at Silver Platters in Bellevue with what's his name? With Scott Rockenfeld's brother, Todd Rockenfeld. So he was telling me, Todd would tell me about, you know, he was the drum tech back when Queensryche toured like with Maiden in Europe and stuff, and he would tell me about like Iron Maiden in Europe and all this crazy. Man, that's epic.
Dude, Todd Rock, what a good name.
I know. Todd Rock. Todd Rock at the record store. Good man. Right, guys. So the record is out now. What's the best way to support you guys? Do you guys have any gigs coming up or anything that we should be aware of?
Yeah, we have one. We were trying to get something together. Well, you know,
Everything's been so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like three.
Maybe I can't hold it.
As we were saying, Lord, three out of the five of us got COVID over this last month.
Yeah.
And luckily for nobody, it didn't get really too bad.
Good.
I had it the worst. But we were trying to book a, you know, you're also touching on the vinyl situation.
Yep.
So we were trying to book a release celebration for the digital thing.
Yeah.
But then everybody, it got really hard. But we were supposed to play. And when we originally were supposed to be on the show was the week of the Satanic Royalty record.
That's right. At Numos. Yep.
Our band showcase. And that was the same night that our record came out. That was supposed to be at Numos. And then that got canceled. Yep. And then we got sick. And then we were trying to set up a second gig or something together. But now it's already, you know, it's just kind of getting out of our hands a little bit. So I don't know what we're going to do for that. Probably might focus to when the vinyl actually comes out and then do a rest for that. And then, but we do have a show at the end of March booked with Nox Novacula for their tour kickoff.
Awesome.
And the Convictions down at Georgetown at Jules May. And we got some other stuff in the works too. But that's the one thing for sure right now.
Right on.
Right now. It's a little, you know, it seems like everybody kind of put the brakes on until the end of February, unless you're a touring band and you're in the cycle, you know, like, so, you know, yeah.
Absolutely. So what the best way to support you guys, follow you on online and keep up with you guys and pre-order the record and buy the digital?
Oh yeah. Go to the Bandcamp. Everything's up on there. That's darkmeditation.com or Bandcamp. What is it?
Darkmeditation.bandcamp.com.
There we go. Thank you. And you can pre-order the record. There's a lot of really killer different types of vinyl, like three different colors. And,
yeah.
You know, you can get the digital version and that probably be out. We're, you know, the latest we've heard is beginning of October, end of September, but possibly could probably looking closer to the summertime. So that's what we're hoping.
And, awesome.
Yeah, you can, you know, stream it, go to satanicroyaltyrecords.com. You can buy an exclusive version from them, but yeah, check it out. Like there's a lot of different avenues to go listen to it through.
Hell yeah. Well, we can listen to a song now from it and see what you dig it. If you dig it, and I guarantee you probably will. If you dug the first one, you'll definitely dig this one. This one's called Babylon Money Magic. Before we jump into it, I'm going to shut up. And I'm going to say, one of you guys has to volunteer. Who's going to volunteer?
I'll volunteer.
All right, Ryan, I'm going to shut up. Okay. And you're going to be the one.
Okay.
In your cheesiest FM radio DJ way possible.
Okay.
You're going to introduce this song. All right.
Okay. You're listening to Live and Local on KSW, where we are Dark Meditation. You're about to listen to Babylon Money Magic. Have a nice night.
Yeah.
Woo! Amazing, dude. Give this guy my job. I love it. Awesome. Dark Meditation with Babylon Money Magic. It's Live and Local. We'll be right back.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Well, we can listen to a song now from it and see what you dig it. If you dig it, and I guarantee you probably will. If you dug the first one, you'll definitely dig this one. This one's called Babylon Money Magic. Before we jump into it, I'm going to shut up and I'm going to say one of you guys has to volunteer. Who's going to volunteer?
I'll volunteer.
All right, Ryan, I'm going to shut up. Okay. And you're going to be the one.
Okay.
In your cheesiest FM radio DJ way possible.
Okay.
You're going to introduce this song. All right.
Okay. You're listening to Live and Local on KSW, where we are Dark Meditation. You're about to listen to Babylon Money Magic. Have a nice night.
Yeah.
Amazing, dude. Give this guy my job. I love it. Awesome. Dark Meditation with Babylon Money Magic. It's Live and Local. We'll be right back.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.